Hello and welcome to a crowded press room in Staples Center. We're going live on a podcast. The Zoom is being broken down. I see Mark Medina in the foreground, Raymond Ritter. And I got a treat for you all. Sam Amick is coming on the podcast. This is how you know the Warriors are back. They're 18-2. They just won in Staples Center. And Sam Amick's like, you know what? I will go on a local podcast.
A local. Don't really, you know, denigrate your fine podcast, man. Come on. You and I roll on tampering every week. You know I got you on the Warriors pod. But, yes, it 100% feels like I just jumped in a time machine and went back a few years. This used to be a regular part of our routine. It was the latest Warriors win, we'd have to break it down. They ran the NBA, and I mean, we're going to get into this later, but I am having a weird kind of reflection on this game from in terms of that, all those memories, man. Like, the Warriors show is back. We're sitting here in LA, where when Steph Curry hit a three, the crowd was louder than they were when Paul George hit a three. You know what I mean? Like, that thing that the Warriors had during that whole five-year run, you know, we are now 20 games in, and that thing is back, and it's pretty wild to watch.
This is not just a, like, Clippers Staples Center type thing. They went into Brooklyn, and as you'll remember, they're chanting MVP for Steph Curry. They went into Charlotte, his hometown, and he hit a couple big threes, including, I remember he hit one late in the third quarter, like, third quarter buzzer, one of those heaves, and the place went crazy. And pregame, Davidson jerseys and Steph jerseys and little eight-year-olds in full Under Armour outfits are just flooding in the arena with signs, please take a picture. Today you see the lady with, you know, I'm just here from Thailand, like, all I want is a picture with you, Steph Curry. It's a lot of that. And, yeah, Draymond kind of talked about it post-game, like, it comes with the good and the bad. I mean, you know, when they – part of the reason I believe they are as refreshed and look as good as they do is because they got 2 years away from it. I mean, you know how drained they were just mentally, physically by the end of that. So it was good for them to get out of the spotlight, but also you do see them kind of happily walking back into it too.
Well, and as we sit here in this room, you know, Steph is still in the room talking to Chris Haynes from Yahoo, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself that it starts with him, right? I mean, he's the epicenter of the whole thing, but the showmanship component was just on level 10 today. You know, one little moment that I caught that cracked me up. He hits that layup, I think second quarter, and almost falls into the baseline stands. And as he looked up, there's these two dudes. One's got a LeBron jersey on, one's got a Kawhi jersey on. And he looked up at this dude about 3 inches from his face, and he just says, I'm a bad man. And he was in that kind of a mood. And so, you know, he not only does it in terms of his performance, but he's always had that showmanship component. And like you said, they got a break from it for a couple of years. And I get that, like Draymond said, it might be tough that you can't get into the restaurant as quickly as you want to, and you're going to sign 50 autographs on your way in. But they also got a taste of what it's like to fall off, too. And, I mean, I'll throw it to you with this question that has been on my mind today is, like, is this now officially enough of a sample size with this group to where it feels like another title or bust type thing? You know what I mean? I know it's early, but we're talking 20 games. You know, I had fun with numbers today, and I was looking at the winning percentage, and obviously this is being somewhat glib, but, like, they're on a 73 win pace with, you know, with this record. You know, where does the bar move in terms of the expectations compared to coming into the year?
Yeah, I wouldn't term it title or bust because particularly the way that they are rebuilding the roster with this, like, youth layer who we barely saw tonight. You see Kuminga for a cameo. You don't see Moody until mop-up time. James Wiseman's now going to the G League to practice. Like, it's clearly an organization that is, like, shifting slowly behind the scenes to try to bridge into the future. But, you know, if you ask Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, yes, they, you know, they're desperate to win now. Where I would agree with you is I do think expectations internally and externally have been raised, because you look around the league, including in this building, you know, we're looking at a monitor where they're setting up a Lakers court tonight for a massive early season game against the Pistons where they try to, like, what, get back to 500. You know, they're going to play the Suns Tuesday, which will be kind of an interesting matchup. But in general, yeah, I don't know how anyone can look at what's happening, look at the fact that Klay Thompson is coming back, and that's going well. And every metric without Klay Thompson is showing, like, blinking, title contender, title contender, title contender. The way their defense is playing, the way Draymond Green is looking physically, though he was kind of limping out of here postgame saying, my damn back, because he fell pretty hard.
Because he tripped over the Wi-Fi cables over here and damn near took out the Zoom computer. He almost got hurt coming into his press conference.
He did. But, yeah, no, look, the...
Well, I'll couch what I said, too. Like, it's because of the history, right? Like, I know it's a little hyperbolic to say this early is a title or bust, but it's because it's a franchise that had that five-year run and won three championships, and they still have the usual suspects who are here. And the thing that also, I mean, the idea that they're adding Klay to this group, Slater, is just bonkers. It's just insane. And considering...
A Klay that looks pretty good behind the scenes.
The reports are good. I mean, my God, Jordan Poole... You know this, and I should know this. Where was Jordan Poole when the Warriors won their first title in 2015? Like, where was he in life?
2015? I thought, well, want to know what's crazy? The last time Klay Thompson played an NBA game, Jordan Poole was still at Michigan. And, you know, Jordan Poole is now the season third-year rising guard who's in Klay Thompson, you know, keeping Klay Thompson's starting spot warm. And Klay Thompson is coming back. Klay Thompson never even played a game in Chase. Anyway, sorry, that wasn't even answering your question. High school in Milwaukee would be the answer to your question.
And now, so you added, I mean, you know, this Steph is as good as any Steph I've ever seen, and that's saying something. This Draymond is as good as any Draymond I've ever seen, you know, and then to add Klay to it, it just, that is where I start looking at it going, all right, I think we do have officially, you know, our leader in the clubhouse at this point in the season. It does make the game Tuesday a lot of fun because, you know, Phoenix needs the respect they deserve from being the reigning Western Conference champs. And we've had this weird season to this point where you kind of didn't know who to be impressed by. Brooklyn was, you know, just a little mediocre for quite some time. The Kyrie stuff changed the optics with them. Milwaukee struggled. Philly is a mess, obviously, with everything going on with them. Almost for me, the first time this year where you have clarity in terms of, you know, who you're giving that early crown to as far as the leader here, and this Warriors team looks like it.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, they're playing Phoenix twice this week. Phoenix 16 in a row. That's crazy. But it's, you know, it's not even just coming together with the fact that of a refreshed, recharged Draymond Steph, but, I mean, you mentioned Poole. Look, Poole changes the game tonight where he looked really bad to the point where I'm about to craft a tweet that says he's 6-24 against the Clippers this year because the Clippers are really physical and he struggled against physical defense. And then Hartenstein kind of bumps him to the ground. And
he got a future in the WWE. Harden, I mean, he's a good player too, but Hartenstein is, you know, out there mean mugging and standing over dudes like he's, you know, what's one dude? Not Gravedigger.
Undertaker?
Undertaker.
Yeah, there you go. And you know who else might? Jordan Poole's got a little flair to him as well. And he's got, you know, we will get to the, I would love to talk about the Steph ref situation tonight that woke him up. But before that happens, in the third, Jordan Poole, again, like I'm saying, he's struggling. I think he was like 2-10 and just really hadn't been a factor. Gets bumped to the ground. Hartenstein taunts him, gets a T. Seemed to wake Poole up. 4 Jordan Poole threes and 12 points in the last 2 minutes and 17 seconds of the third quarter, where Steph Curry's resting half that time as they're doing this weird pattern to get him to play almost the whole fourth. And he changes the game. And as we you know, zoom in and zoom out on this Warriors team, the zoom in of that moment is like, Jordan Poole's like game breaking for them at times this season, and like, you know, you add that type of depth, and that's where you have championship level depth.
100%. And you hit on it or alluded to it earlier, the defensive side, and you did such a great job detailing that in your piece a few days ago. That's the championship pedigree, and so yeah, it's sexy to watch, you know, Steph hit all these threes and to see what they do on the offensive end. But the defense is where, in terms of just analyzing what they do, they are clearly for real. And the intensity, you know, that's another element here that I'm curious to get your two cents on, is like, this was a playoff caliber type intensity game. And you know who I thought about today, not to throw shade at another young player, but early this season, young Trae Young had a comment that he probably, you know, wishes he could take back, but where he essentially says that he was struggling because it's hard to get up for these regular season games when you get used to the playoffs. I thought about that watching this game tonight going, that's just not the right way to go about this job. I mean, Steph Curry did not look like he was having a hard time getting up. And these dudes are cut different, but, like, can they really have it be on level 10 from now until June?
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Well, the funny thing about the Trae Young comment, like I covered, particularly in the middle of those Durant years, which became miserable. Like, they had those regular seasons just like, oh, can we wait till the playoffs? Yeah, yeah. And, you know, some of that. But that was coming from a team who was, like, on their fourth straight finals run. Not a team that had made the playoffs for the first time in, like, you know.
Unexpectedly made the conference finals. Yeah.
Yeah. And only the conference finals. Yeah. Like, anyway. To your question, I do think the depth helps. And this youth layer helps. And the fact that they're going to get a Klay Thompson infusion, which is going to add some juice to the dog days, typically the January, February, will matter. And, if they're going to go through rough patches, you know, they're 18-2. I don't think they're on their way to like 69 wins or something like that, but this looks like a pretty steady 55-60 win team. And the fact that, look, they were really tired at the end of a recent East Coast road trip. They rested Iguodala, and then, you know, Iguodala was dealing with some knee swelling, which, by the way, he's been playing great this year. We haven't seen him in six games. And then they decided to rest Steph because he banged up his hip in Brooklyn, and Draymond, right, just because it was like, you know, let's just go full rest night. And then they won that game because Jordan Poole scores 31. Andrew Wiggins, who not much of a factor tonight, but Andrew Wiggins has had huge games. He scores 33 in that game. They beat Detroit without those guys while they're recharging their battery. And, Kuminga adds a level of life that we've seen very briefly. Wiseman at some point will juice up some of this too. And, you know, they also add rotational question marks and timeline issues. But in general, I just think the depth and the layering of this roster allows them to be refreshed when they need to. And also, as you know, they have a head coach who just runs the NBA marathon very well. Yeah. He knows when to give you days off. He knows when to do family days. He knows when to mass rest, all of that. I mean, he kind of takes the temperature so well of his team.
It's funny. You mentioned the record and where they're going to wind up, right? You know, 60-plus, what's it going to be? I mean, to get to 55, they got to go 37-25. So this foundation, record-wise, is legit. And that's, I mean, I think it'd be a disappointment for them at this point to not be in that 60 territory. And again, I just look at the landscape, man. Phoenix is, again, very legit. We'll see what happens this week. Sorry, I'm mildly distracted because we have the COVID team staring at us here. They trying to clean up our room. But they're not only for real, but media wise, I'm sitting here, you know, I think we're going to be hanging a lot more in the next couple months, my friend, because it feels like it's back to the old days of the national crew is going to have to be following the Warriors because it's the greatest basketball show on earth again.
Yeah, I mean, the story of the league.
Well, and then you add in the Klay thing. It's going to have this kind of phase two element to it where it's going to be the biggest story out there. And if they keep playing like this, you know, one of the only uber positive stories where a lot of the other ones that we're covering are more train wreck style. You know what I mean? Like the Lakers and what's going to happen with them. They're not playing all that well. Things of that nature. But yeah, this team's something else.
Anything? Let's get to the Steph ref thing because that's mostly kind of what I'm going to be writing about. Poole kind of drags them ahead heading into the fourth. It's been a really physical game. These teams entered 1-2 in defense. The Clippers, I actually think the Clippers are built about as good as any conference team to defend the Warriors in a playoff series, which includes Ty Lue, who has, you know, built good defensive game plans against the Warriors over the years. So anyway, physical all night. Both sides don't seem to be liking a lot of the calls going on. So Steph has a third foul late in the third, and then he gets his fourth foul kind of early in the fourth on this. Like, it was kind of, he was passing it away and he kind of bumped somebody and the guy fell over. Kind of a surprising call. You could tell they were mad about it. Like, Steve and Steph are yelling about it. And then maybe 1-2 minutes later, he's driving on a fast break, goes up for a layup, gets bumped. You'd probably term it as a pretty egregious no call, on a fast break drive.
He tried to almost go reverse. Yeah. And, I mean, yes, it was a foul. I think it was the kind of the cumulative effect of all the other.
For sure. Because,
honestly, he jumped into Terrence Mann, you know, pretty seriously. And Mann was there and he hit him and it should have been a foul. But, yeah, I didn't think it was about just that one call by any means.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, if that happens in the first quarter on Tuesday in Phoenix, like, he might jog back and be like, that's a foul, man. And that's it. Yeah. But, yeah, it was just an accumulation of the night. Right. And he blows up. Steph Curry blew up. When he blew up, I was like, he's getting tossed. I mean, like, if a referee ejected him there, we wouldn't be like, what a crazy ejection. I'm not saying he should have been, but, yeah, like, he put himself at risk.
It was a pump fist in the ref's face. So you had
going at him.
Going at him, a physical gesture that was, you know, that was intense. And just to clear up something you asked in the presser, and I think you already know this, like, he was 100% giving a fake tech back to that ref. I do not think that his, you know, that movement he made on the right sideline was a Ty Lue fake timeout. I mean, his form was a little weak with his tech. He might have to work on that, but I'm not going to lie, I'm fine with petty stuff. He cracks me up, like, when he gets in this mood where the guy who is as classy as they come and is, you know, such a great ambassador for the game, goes into this other headspace where, you know, he's
Draymond headspace.
Yes. I mean, whether it's telling the fan that he's a bad boy or you know, doing fake texts, which he got kind of lucky because which ref was that, by the way? 45.
Oh, jeez. It was.
But I think he kind of looked away right when Steph did it.
Mm-hmm.
So Steph got away with it. But he was on one, man, and he was playing with the crowd and soaking it up. And it just kind of goes back to what we talked about. He's, you know, I mean, he never went anywhere. Last year was incredible. But it just now feels like it's going to be different because the stakes are high again. They're really high.
Yeah. Three threes right after that in 75 seconds. And as Draymond Green pointed out, four threes in 75 seconds. One of them was waved off by the same referee called it, you know. I mean, I need to go look at it. I don't know if it was a good offensive foul call, but there was certainly a level of, like, yeah, it was like an illegal screen. There was certainly a level of belief within the Warriors, like, you're just, like, I'm being petty, you're being petty. It was like, it was funny because it wasn't an opponent pissing Steph off and inciting a flurry. It was the referees, but it certainly, like, it did. And, you know, crazy dudes need to get themselves going in different ways, and he got himself going, and then suddenly he finished with 33, seven made threes. He's coming up on Ray Allen. That's another moment that's going to have some life in the next few weeks. He's going to break the record.
Slater, I can't believe after what we saw a few years ago that he's doing it again. Like, the 403 season, you know, I saw a tweet today on our Athletic account about how he's, you know, he's above that pace to this point.
Well, some of that is he's shooting more than ever, and that's the era, you know. You go back to his 402-3 season, I need to look exactly at the attempt amount, but he was probably 3, 4, 5 lower attempts per game than he is now because people just jack more than ever now, and they've given – not that he ever needed more of a green light, but I just think the environment that the NBA has played in now has given him more of a green light. Well, he'll take, you know, 14, 15 a game, right, with ease, and that – leads, you know, at his same percentage of that's, I mean, his percentage is always sitting in the, you know, low to mid 40s. But yeah, he is doing it again. And he's also getting 6 steals tonight. And I think rightfully being credited post game with, like, he's a very important component of the league's best defense.
The strength stuff, which, you know, you've written some about, I think I'd almost love to learn a little bit more about, like, this, you know, kind of mini Arnold Schwarzenegger version of Steph, where you see that he's bigger, but then to hear Draymond talk postgame about how he's one of the strongest guys on the team, talked about how he's, you know, hanging with their trainer all the time. That stuff is obviously huge on the defensive end, because you can see him, for lack of a better way of putting it, just not getting punked like he used to. You know, they tried to drag him down on the block, and he's a different guy.
Strip Paul George tonight on post, though.
Yeah, he's a different guy, man. He's, you know, is he 33 now? How old is he?
Yeah, 33. We'll be 34 in March.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to his credit, man, he is absolutely maximizing his prime and continuing to evolve and add things to his game, which at this stage is not a small thing.
The fans get Sam Amick on a Warriors All 82 podcast. I'm telling you, like, this is a
Slater Amick pod LA trip. We'll be recording in the morning to do it all over again on tampering. So come join us over there. But this is fun, man. It feels like old times for sure.
All right, well, you gotta stay and watch some Lakers Pistons. I gotta write about this game. I'll probably monitor, but I kind of have to. You know, I gotta write about this game.
Welcome to Staples, about to be crypto, where they have 17 events a day, and there's always something going on.
Can I get some LA Kings hockey later, maybe? Last night. Can we go? Is there a Rams or Chargers game down the road? All right. I will talk to you sometimes this week, and listen to the Athletic NBA show, Tampering Podcast, every Tuesday. Sam Amick and me are on. Talk to you then.
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.